And we'll open our Bibles to the book of Philippians once again. And we've got a really, really good section of Philippians ahead of us. But I guess I could have said the same thing for every one of the lessons in this book of Philippians. But it is really fascinating to see what we have before us tonight. Well, okay, Philippians chapter 3, if you got that in front of you, the Bible says in Philippians 3, and verse number 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And aren't those verses loaded? They're just jammed full of wonderful truth for God's people. We want to know, first of all, that we have, as we talked about last time, we have a heavenly life or conversation, remember that word, which has already begun. The moment you got saved, you received an eternal heavenly life. You may temporarily be bound to this earth while you're living in your mortal body, but that doesn't change the fact that if you are saved, you already have eternal life as a gift of God. One man said, although a wheel turneth about on the ground, the greatest part of it is always from the earth. Think about that. And he says, and although our body be on the earth, the greater part of our life must be in heaven. And we talked last time about that matter of our conversation, so we don't need to talk about that again tonight. But secondly, in these verses, we see that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Savior. He is not a Savior. He's not a Savior for one group of people, and then some other group of people have another Savior. He is the Savior. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. And that one who is the Savior is also the Lord. The Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no religion in the world can give you eternal life. I possess today, the complete forgiveness of my sins. I possess today absolute certainty that my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And with that cleansing comes absolute assurance of victory in the day and hour of death. Now, Bible Christianity can assure and guarantee you of that victory ahead of time. And these verses stand to prove that. Now, it's interesting to note that the Bible that I have with me here today, the Holy Bible, that is the authorized King James Bible, says we look for the Savior. Well, unfortunately, and I'm sure you're not surprised to find out, the corrupt and perverted New International Version does not have that definite article, the Savior. Again, there's only one Savior. You know that, don't you? You know that. Don't you know there's only one Savior? Well, the New International Version says this. It says, and we eagerly await a Savior. How about that? A Savior. Now, what would you think if I said to you that the Bible says Jesus Christ is a way, a truth, and a life, and some men come unto the Father by him? You would say, well, that can't be so. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, and well, then why would the NIV say we look for a Savior instead of the Savior? That's something to think about, isn't it? And then the corrupt and perverse Revised Standard Version, which isn't seen or used very often anymore because they didn't make any money, so they quit printing it. But the Revised Standard Version says, we await a Savior. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the one and only Savior. And the proof that Jesus Christ is the Savior is not that he makes me rich while I'm down here. It's not that he makes me well while I'm down here. It's not that he walks the path of life and holds my hand while I'm down here. The reason that I'm looking for Jesus Christ as the Savior is because whatever else Muhammad said when he died, well, death shut his mouth for good. Whatever Buddha had to teach, when death visited Buddha, Buddha stopped teaching. Whatever example Confucius may have set, he was never heard from again once they laid his bones in the grave. Whatever decrees hundreds of popes may have set forth, well, when death visited them, that was the end of it. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, he turned the tables. He didn't wait for death to visit him. He went looking for death. He came all the way down from heaven to earth, and he looked for death. He met it on Mount Calvary. And there, Jesus Christ conquered death, and he proved it for 3 days and three nights. He proved it 3 days and three nights later when he walked out of that grave. So why would you look for a Savior among the many that are scattered about this world when you could have the Savior who proved that he was the only one? Because everybody else has a grave with them in it. But Jesus Christ has a grave that, okay, he occupied it briefly before departing therefrom. How in the world people can't see the difference between that and a religion is one of the great mysteries of life. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, because of that, we are looking for the Savior. We're not looking for the cure. We're looking for the Savior. We're not looking for the miracle drug. We're looking for the Savior. We're not looking for the safety measure. We're looking for the Savior. We're not hoping to live long enough so that somebody can find a cure for death. I found something better than a cure for death. I found victory over death. I found something better than prolonging the inevitable another 20 days or 20 years. I have found absolute assurance that death has met a superior power, an adversary that it could not conquer, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in his word, if I would trust him, he would take care of death for me. And he has. That's pretty good. Now, the doctor says, I'm going to do my best to try and help you. The nurse says, I'm going to do my best to try and help you. The pharmacist says, the chiropractor says, the faith healer says, I'm going to do my best to try and help you. The preacher and the church members say, we'll try our best to do and to pray for you. But when all have done their best, we're going to die. But when Jesus Christ says, I'll do my best for you, his best is eternal life. And that changes everything. That changes it all. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 21, that this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we look for, will change our vile body. Okay, here's the quote. Who, Jesus Christ, shall, meaning there's no doubt about it, change our vile body. So hope you're listening carefully. I know we've talked about this before, but maybe you didn't get it the first time. I don't care which modern version or translation of the Bible you pull off of your shelf. If it is not a King James Bible, it is going to be humanistic. That is, the Bibles that have been produced since 1881 are books that honor man in varying degrees and thereby dishonor God to the same degree. And nowhere is this more evident than in the way the new Bibles handle God's statement in Philippians 3:21 that our bodies are vile. The Good News Bible says he will change our weak, mortal bodies. Well, yeah, they are weak and they are mortal. The problem is that is not what the text says. It's an improper, incorrect translation. Our bodies are vile. The New International Version says he will transform our lowly bodies. And the Laughable Living Bible says he will take care of these dying bodies of ours and change them. You say, well, it seems like they all have the same general message. No, they don't. No, they don't. The modern Bibles were written for people who love their bodies, who devote more money to their appearance than they do to foreign missions, who are more concerned with their looks than they are the condition of their soul. That's right. That's right. And so the modern versions say weak bodies or lowly bodies instead of vile bodies. How about that? That ought to tip you off to something. Something's going on with these modern versions. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to appeal to people that love themselves more than they love God. The Bible says in Philippians 3:21, he is not only going to change our vile bodies, but he's going to make them like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's run some scriptures here concerning our body. Let's start in Genesis chapter 2. And this lesson tonight, I know it's elementary, but the basic principles, they're always worth repeating. Why am I going to die? Because of sin, not because of cancer, not because of pollution, not because of our fast-paced, stressful world. It's because of sin. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, God said it. Adam died. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see that? Death could not enter the human race until the human race opened the door and invited sin to enter. Death entered by way of sin. And it says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay, so you're not dying because Adam sinned. You're dying because you've done what he did. He sinned, you've sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned. And since death is the consequence of sin, everybody dies. And this is why politics can't be the answer, medicine can't be the answer, social reform cannot be the answer, religion can't be the answer, because you can't deliver someone from death until you have first delivered them from sin. Death is the consequence of sin. So when you line up to get smacked on the forehead and get healed, but you never get your sins dealt with, well, you still die. People are so blind. You know that? Get offended if you want to, but it's the absolute truth here. If you get your body healed and you don't get your sins forgiven, you are going to die in your sins and you will go to hell. So why are you running all over the place following healers instead of getting into a Bible preaching church and getting your sin dealt with? Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And now the gospel. We talked a lot about that Friday. The gospel is not that Jesus is a good man. The gospel is not follow Jesus, The gospel is not let Christ come into your life. The gospel is not accept Christ. The gospel is Christ died for our sins. You have to deal with sin and death. That's why Jesus came. He died for our sins. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. So when I put my faith and trust in the death that Jesus died for my sins, that death takes the place of my death and guarantees that his resurrection becomes the down payment, the earnest of my resurrection. Just as surely as Jesus died for me, he will raise me from the dead. That's why we look for him. We look for the Savior. He took care of the sin problem, which takes care of the death problem. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, very popular passage in our church. We look at this one often, don't we? 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, you see that? The Lord himself, not somebody else, not an angel, not a representative. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is a comfort, isn't it? All right, now tonight, I'm not going to argue with you about when this happens. That's not our subject, not our topic for tonight's lesson. But you cannot argue about the fact that God said it is going to happen. People that are already dead, their bodies are going to get up, and people that are still alive are going to join together with them, and all of them are going to rise up and meet the Lord in the air. That's what it says. Now, the fact that you don't believe it, or maybe somebody taught you not to believe it, or you think it means something other than what it actually says, that's not my problem. I just told you what the Bible says according to the passage. You know what the sole condition for making that trip is, the only requirement? If you want to make that trip from death to meet the Lord in the air, the requirement is if we believe, not if we work. Not if we believe and work, not if we believe and give, not if we believe and endure, not if we believe and belong to the right church. He said, if we believe what? The gospel. The gospel that Jesus died and rose again. The gospel is not his good deeds. It's not his teachings. It's not his life. It's not his miracles. Christ died for our sins and was buried, and the third day he rose again. And if you put your faith and trust in that Lord Jesus Christ, then the sin issue has been dealt with. And if the sin issue has been dealt with, the death issue has been dealt with. And on the basis of believing, we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you. I like that. I like it. I know that heaven is a real place. And I know that saved people go to heaven, but I'm not excited about going to heaven. I'm excited about being with the Lord. I know there's some wonderful things said about that place. We saw a lot of that when we studied Revelation. I don't doubt anything that the Bible says about those gold streets, the jasper walls, mansion houses, and all the rest of that. But I'm just saying, we're not looking for heaven. We're looking for the Savior. He's the one that makes the place what it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 35 says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You know what that seed is? That seed is the container. The life is inside it. Okay, you plant that thing in the ground because what? The container is dead, but once it's planted, then the life that's inside of it springs forth. And you know what God said? He said, one day men are going to plant your container in the ground, but the life is on the inside, and that life is going to spring forth. Okay, that's the picture that God is giving here. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Okay, that is, some are fit for living in heaven, some are fit for living on earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So, we are not all going to look alike. Animals, they don't look alike. Birds don't look alike. Fish don't look alike. People don't look alike. Heavenly bodies don't look alike. Now, in the context, God is pointing out to you that he has a variety of manifestations for each of these different types of bodies. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, rotting flesh, decaying flesh. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's frail, it's weak, it's a vile body. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And guess what? I'm entitled to both. I've got a natural body. I'm going to get a spiritual body. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Okay, everybody's not going to die before the Lord comes. But we shall be changed. Everybody that's saved, they may not die. Not everybody will die, but everybody that's saved is going to get a new body, a changed body. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, shall be. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Think about it. A vile body in a glorious heaven? That sure isn't going to work, is it? A vile body in a spotless heaven? No way. No way. God's got to change us. It must be. 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Okay, but Jesus Christ defeated sin, defeated death, and they no longer hold any power over the saved man, the saved woman. Oh, your body is going to be seized upon by death one day, sure, but you will be so quickly absent from the body and present with the Lord, you won't even know that you've died. And then in the day of the Lord's return, that body will be raised, changed, made like his, and you will dwell forever and forever and forever with the Lord in the place that he has gone to prepare for his own. Well, there are some more verses on this, but we can't get to them tonight. We'll have to get to them next time. But I do have three things. I know most of you here. In fact, I'm about 99.9% sure, although those of you joining us here tonight are saved. But for the sake of anyone who might listen to this recording, I got to ask a few questions in these last few minutes here. And that is, number one, are you saved? Really, truly, genuinely saved? You are not going to make this trip to heaven if you're not saved. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Do you believe that? And do you believe it enough to trust him and nothing else, for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul? You need to be saved. The Bible says you must be born again. Second question, are you looking for Jesus to come with joy, with anticipation? Or would that kind of interfere with your life if the Lord came? See, some people are going to heaven, yeah, but they don't want to go. They just prefer that to hell, you see. And so when the time comes that they have to go somewhere, well, they'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. And they're really not all that excited about going to heaven or seeing Jesus. And I don't want you to be one of those people. God doesn't want you to be one of those people. Why don't you fall in love with Jesus so you can look forward to going to heaven? And third, I got to ask this. I don't question your sincerity, and it's not your fault. You just did what somebody told you to do. But I have to ask you this. When the Bible teaches from one end to the other that there is only one Savior, and that NIV calls Jesus a Savior and not the Savior, that has to bother you. Doesn't it bother you that the book you hold that somebody told you was a Bible is so wrong? Now, you know humanism and Christianity are opposed one to another. If the Holy Bible says you live in a vile body and the NIV tries to fix that up a little bit so you won't feel so bad about your flesh, you've got to know that's a problem. And so, friends, I encourage you, get a real Bible, a Holy Bible, a King James Bible, the only authorized version, and get rid of that NIV with those 17 missing verses. Hope you do that if you got one of those. Amen. That's all I have to say for tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who's given us understanding. We thank you, Lord, that we can study your word and know what you're saying. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help us all to live our lives in a way that shows you that we know that our conversation is in heaven, and you have already taken care of our sin problem, and we don't have, therefore, we don't have to worry about death. And we know that if we do die, this body will be put in the grave, and we'll be with you. We'll be absent from this body and present with you, Lord. That's something to look forward to in itself. But Lord, you said you're giving us a new glorified body. That's something even better. Lord, you're such a wonderful Lord, and you got so many wonderful gifts and that are waiting for us. So Lord, we pray that you'll help us to keep those things in mind so that our lives will reflect that we believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.